Grace opens the door. This is a work which calls for the interaction of two powers, man's will and overself's grace. The will's work is to engage in some measure of self-discipline, and yet to surrender itself entirely at the proper moment. This is the paradox, that although a man must try to conquer himself if he would attain the overself, he cannot succeed in this undertaking except by the overself's own power, that is, by grace. Man's initiative pushes on toward the goal, whilst divine grace draws him to it. Both forces must combine if the process is to be completed and crowned with success. Yet that which originally made the goal attractive to him and inspired him with faith in it, and thus gave rise to his efforts, was itself the grace. His own power will bring him to a certain point, but it will not be able to bring him farther along. When this is reached, he has no alternative than to surrender patiently, acquiescently, and wait. By such submission, he shows his humility and takes one step in becoming worthy of grace. When the grace has led him sufficiently far, he will be distinctly aware of an inner presence. It will think for him, feel for him, and even act for him. This is the beginning of and what it means to have an egoless life. A great humility comes into him when at long last he steps aside from his ego sufficiently to allow the perception that it is not in his own power to enter the ultimate enlightenment. Grace is the arbiter. When the ego's total submission is rewarded by the overself's holy grace, he is granted pardon for the blackest past, and his sins are truly forgiven him. When he has passed successfully through the last trial, overcome the last temptation, and made the last sacrifice of his ego, the reward will be near at hand. The overself's grace will become plain, tangible, and wholly embracing. When grace takes the form of spiritual enlightenment, it may catch him unawares, enter his consciousness unexpectedly, and release him abruptly from the protracted tensions of the quest.